The following is a paid program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation and WFED. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individuals or advertisers as indicated. WFED does not endorse or take responsibility for those statements or opinions. Federal News Radio accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracies or errors in admissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Deloitte's Fed Central program on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Here is your host, Jane Norris.
Welcome to the new Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte, a program where executives and federal government leaders talk about the issues and initiatives that are making a real impact on the business of government today to help government help America. And today's program will focus on how open government is working for federal agencies. We are happy to welcome to the show today David McClure, the Associate Administrator of Citizen Services and Innovation Technologies at the General Services Administration. David is a catalyst for the adoption of open government services throughout the federal government, and he is the former Director of IT Management at the Government Accountability Office. Also joining us today, Ira Goldstein, who is a director with Deloitte Federal Government Services and former Chief Operations Officer at the Government Accountability Office, also former Associate Commissioner at the Social Security Administration. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. A pleasure to have both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, so let's start with you, Mr. McClure. Tell us about the first year of open government. How is it going?
I think it's going pretty well. You know, this is a evolutionary step for government to actually move into an open, transparent type of environment where data is readily accessible online and is consumable by citizens in very practical ways. So I think we've accomplished some major tasks. We have enormous volumes of information that are being put online. We have some new data sets that are being put up that take that raw data and create new value with it. And we have a lot of attention of agencies on trying to maintain this openness and transparency with ongoing activities with citizens, not a one-time event, but ongoing activities with citizens. And that's a culture shift.
You know, David, one of the things that's been fascinating about this whole initiative has been it's not the first time that the federal government has attempted to become more open, to rely more on websites and direct interaction. Can you give us some understanding of where you think what's being done here is built on prior experiences that not always, as you and I know, not always been successful?
Right. I think we're in a different place as a society, and we're in a little bit different place in terms of the use of technology than we have been in the past. So a lot of what's happening is outside of government, really. Consumers, taking on participatory behaviors with getting more active in their conversations online, yearning for information to make decisions. So I think the environment outside of government has actually forced us in government to think differently about how we put our information out and how we engage in two-way dialogues with citizens. So it's not a one-way information delivery channel. It's also a two-way street on getting feedback to the government officials on how well they're doing their job.
It almost sounds like you believe, or the administration believes, that the push for this is coming from citizens and the way we work with non-governmental entities and the way we use technology and getting things done in the commercial environment seems to be driving the federal government to get more participative about the interaction over the websites?
Yeah, I think in the past we've always viewed government as being a push strategy in its online activities. I organize a website, I organize information, I present it the way that I feel like a consumer, a citizen should take it. And we're trying to turn that a bit to realizing that citizens are pulling information in, not only from government, but from other entities as well, and then shaping it to their own expectations. And that creates a different pressure point for government rather than me creating something and pushing out and selling or marketing the way I think it should be done. We've got to go out to the citizen in their social communities and find out how they're interacting and tailor our services and our interactions in that environment.
Well, it raises a question in my mind about the two groups that are probably listening to us today. Federal executives and managers in various departments who are attempting to get their technology and their web capability up to common expectations, but also the citizens themselves. Is it possible for you to describe some of the interactions at various departments that have been successes and what kind of citizen participation has occurred that has been constructive around open government?
Yeah. In early part of last year, we began the Open Government Directive. We've now been almost 12, 13 months into it. I think one of the sure signs of participation was the online dialogues that were held virtually with every major cabinet department, where citizens could comment on what the agency was doing to become more open and transparent, provide ideas on how they could improve service delivery to citizens in their mission areas, and to prioritize or vote up or down suggestions for how the agency might operate differently. That was unprecedented public participation across the entire government at one multi-week period. And the agencies that are scoring very high from the administration are the ones that have taken the ideas and suggestions and on their websites and in their practices and policies have illustrated how they've made some changes. So, for example, the regulatory rulemaking process is now much more open, and there is a challenge or feedback loop that citizens can engage with EPA, labor, and other mechanisms on their thoughts about how the rulemaking should be changed. And there's a blog set up so that the government can conduct that online dialogue with citizens.
Is this the way you thought it would work when it was first implemented, or has it really met your expectations or exceeded them?
It's certainly the way we want it to work is a two-way interaction, not a one-way interaction. The challenge for us in government is that we were asking about federal executives and managers. Federal executives and managers haven't necessarily been trained in how to conduct two-way dialogues online with citizens or how to even engage in policymaking with that large of a constituency. It's usually inside government discussions. And this changes the dynamics of how we write laws, rulemaking, regulatory policies so that you actively engage citizens. In the past, there was a paper process where people could submit comments, but this is much more dynamic and real-time in nature. And I think it ups the ante, it ups the tempo. It also ups the expectation that we do something with the input and feed back to the public what we're doing with it.
So I hear you talking, Dave, about the ability of citizens to interact in helping government make its decisions and helping EPA define its rules. But what about the other side of the equation? Have there been any situations where this has actually helped me get benefits from government better, faster, quicker, or do you have plans to do that if I'm a veteran or I'm a recipient of Social Security?
Yeah, in two ways, too. It's not just public interaction. Remember, part of open government is opening up collaboration within the agency itself, creating open vehicles so that employees can actually brainstorm and innovate service delivery improvement. So at the Veterans Affairs Department, for example, out of 19,000 employees, 7,000 employees submitted ideas for how VA could improve its frontline service delivery to veterans. And out of that, out of several thousands of ideas, the secretary came up with the top 10 that he wanted VA to focus on, using an expert panel to actually reach that conclusion. And each one of those employees were treated with a trip to VA to shake hands personally with the secretary, because that meant that something was actually being done with this. And those activities are monitored real time in terms of the progress VA is making in putting those reforms in place. So that's internal collaboration. On the outside with the public, Social Security has also done a lot of reach out to citizens, explaining how to get benefits online, how to apply for cards, how to problem solve through contact centers or through online mechanisms. So it's created a little bit more of a rapid tempo, I think, than the old process of contact us through the mail or through an email back to us and we'll get to you in 2 or 3 weeks. This is, I think, raising that to near time kind of interaction and problem solving.
I know you recently put out a call or a challenge for people to use a new website, I guess it's challenge.gov, to conduct contests, to actually use a government website to find the right answers to certain questions or design things that couldn't be designed. To me, that's a very exciting turn of events that never could have existed before.
Right.
How's that one going?
It's going unbelievably well. There are over 40 contests that are now have been launched on that website across, I believe, 16 to 18 different agencies. The idea is the government does not have a monopoly on problem solving, particularly in its own service delivery. So why not open this up for innovation, creativity, in solving problems? And the problems range from things to next generation fuel efficient cars, to the new next generation light bulb, to the new space glove used by astronauts, to solving a process problem of how people actually get benefits when they walk in physically into a Social Security office or into a driver's license department in a state. It's just from very simple to very complex. And the prize an award authority in government ranges from multi-millions of dollars to thousands of dollars to just recognition. You know, we recognize people that come up with winning ideas. The government gets an amazing stream of ideas for free and pays very minimal for the solution that it actually decides to use, and gets the benefit of all the other ideas that have been submitted as well.
Would you mind addressing one item that I think has been controversial and a challenge? In ARRA, there's a lot of data that was put out on the web that turned out not to have been qualified. It was just sort of put out as provided. How do you make sure when you're putting all that data out that you actually aren't putting out misinformation to agencies and to the electorate?
Right. I think it's a great question. First of all, the Recovery Act put out an unprecedented amount of information in very short time periods that most governments have never attempted to do before. In that kind of environment, there's going to be errors. It's guaranteed they will happen. It happens even when we don't do it quickly. So I think that was just part of the process. But if you look at the Open Government Directive, there is a big piece of it that's focused on data quality. Putting data quality officers in place, looking at performance metrics on quality testing of the information, and getting it right before it's put up online. So it's a two-way street. We have to look at both at the pre and the post.
We can continue that when we come back. So stay tuned. You're listening to Fed Central, presented by Deloitte on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
As governments seek to revolutionize IT with cloud computing, some CIOs question whether cloud can help them meet growing business demands on IT. Is cloud right for government? And what other computing models should government seriously consider to deliver a more flexible, cost-effective IT capability that supports their programs and their people? Join Deloitte as they examine cloud computing and what it means for government on Tuesday, December 14th at 2 p.m. To register, go to Deloitte.com/US/debriefs.
Welcome back to Fed Central, presented by Deloitte on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today, David McClure, Associate Administrator, Citizen Services and Innovation Technologies at GSA, and also Ira Goldstein, Director with Deloitte Federal Government Services and former Chief Operations Officer at GAO. Gentlemen, thanks so much and appreciate your time today. So if I could, Dave, ask you what the role of industry is with the Open Government Initiative, and that's what we're discussing today, open government. So how do businesses react to this or get involved in it?
Well, I think it opens up a pipeline, again, for ideas, creativity, and innovation from industry in solving practical service delivery and information delivery problems that they face as commercial organizations. They're dealing with consumers. We're dealing with citizens. The two are the same, just different types of commodities perhaps being delivered. So I think we can learn a lot from industry in that perspective. The second thing I think we get from industry are tools, techniques, tips on how to actually deliver information, high-value information, quickly in these online environments, and how to engage with citizens with effective tools and techniques as well.
So I would ask the same question of you, Ira. So obviously, at Deloitte, these are some of the things that that we're working on. So what's your view of this?
Well, I think Dave's hit the nail right on the head. I think that there's a collaborative environment that allows industry to bring in some early learning that occurred maybe before the federal government became that familiar with the concept of open government. And in the current environment, you even see some providers like Walmart and other of the large organizations that touch a large population, providing opportunities in their stores and in their places. And you know, Deloitte has clients like that who do that. And I think all of those kinds of client interactions help the population and government sort of pull it to be moving even quicker.
Well, it's an interesting time. I think that, as you said in the last segment, it moves things forward more quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think in real time, we are all moving at breakneck pace. And so open government for government is really, I think, very non-traditional. And I don't see a way to turn back from this. I mm-hmm. think it only moves forward from here.
It does raise an interesting question, as you say, moving forward from here. We are sitting in Washington, D.C. There was something of a significant election, David. I think it was probably a week ago. And there's a lot of people who are trying to figure out how this sort of significant change in the electorate's mood and pattern and the results of the election will affect Washington over the next 2 years. Have you given any thought to whether the election results of this midterm election will change or affect the open government initiative in the next couple of years?
I think, first of all, it reinforces openness and transparency, because what's happening is that the decisions, the operations, and the performance of government are now quite open and transparent. So that provides a lot of discussion, if you will, for the political environment in ways that were quite different from what we had a few years ago. But I think it raises the ante, Ira, quite honestly, on making sure that in this platform of openness and transparency that we're focused on practical service delivery and practical information delivery to citizens so that it's useful in their everyday life. We don't want to just load them up with tons of data and information that they question, what's this for? We have to really hone this on high-value activities and the kind of information that citizens are looking for.
One of the concerns that people have expressed is the security of the information. And it's led to discussions about whether cloud sourcing is really something that should be occurring in the situation where I'm putting my information as a citizen on it. Do I have something that I should be worried about on that? And could you explain maybe for the listeners the role of cloud sourcing in all of this?
Well, we believe that cloud sourcing a lot of the information is the way to go. It's simply putting it into a hosted infrastructure environment that the government doesn't really own. It's provided by third parties. And you are allowing it to be optimized in a way that it's very efficient and high value from an economic perspective. The question of security on the data is a good one. Most of the data that's been put up for public consumption is publicly available data. It doesn't contain sensitive, personalized, top secret, or classified information. It's publicly available data. We've just had it buried in existing data silos and in existing databases that the public really didn't have access to, or it was very difficult to get access to. So I think that's an important distinction that we try to make with citizens, is that the bulk of this information is indeed what we call low impact from a security perspective, because it doesn't contain personal identifiable information or sensitive information. It's already publicly available. When we start moving into areas of government information where we do need to protect information, then I think the security bar raises quite differently. We've got to make sure that it's secure and that we're not disclosing information accidentally that could irreparably harm an individual.
So we've come this far in the conversation without ever having to use the T word, technology. And we know that one of the major administration initiatives has been to reduce the cost and, in essence, reduce the massive expenditure for technologies as part of a budget challenge. How do you continue to grow open government when technology is being pressured from an economic standpoint?
Well, I think from a storage perspective, one of the things that's very good for open government is that the storage of this information in a cloud-like environment is extremely economical and very efficient. And we can store data in one place as opposed to federating it across the entire government and duplicating it, which is what we commonly see happening still today. The second big change, I think, is that a lot of these technologies that are driving The social media, Web 2.0, Government 2.0 agenda are very lightweight, agile applications, very inexpensive, and very easy to put up. And I think that that allows CIOs and IT owners to really deliver value in a very quick, timely fashion without huge capital expenditures on large business process improvement initiatives.
Is there anybody you want to call out as having done it particularly well?
Yes, GSA has done it extremely
well.
Oh, of
course,
we are.
What a coincidence.
I think one of our missions is to actually find technologies that can be used on a government-wide basis. So Ira mentioned challenge.gov. That's a application that we identified at no cost to the government, make it entirely available to any government agency that wants to use it at no cost. We've run dialogues, we've run challenge and contest, and we're actually hosting some things in cloud storage at no cost to agencies as part of our services as well. So that's the economics side of it. I think it allows this leveraging across agencies in ways that we really need to take advantage of.
So if I'm looking forward 5 or 10 years to a time when technology adoption has moved forward quite a bit and where open government has become more the common approach than the new initiative, do you and the administration believe it'll actually change the way citizens deal with government on basic services like my Social Security benefit or my it's not federal but a state driver's license or things like that? You see this as transformative?
I think so. I think the question is the speed, pace, and direction of it. We're not going to turn it around overnight, but increasingly Americans are getting online and using web-based technologies in their personal life. Broadband usage is now at an all-time high in the U.S., and mobile devices are really where most of this is headed. How can I deliver information and services to the device that's becoming quite common across economic, income, and education boundaries? So I think it changes things. The delivery of the service and the interaction capabilities back to government with the public heavily engaged is game-changing. And I think we'll get there.
So if I'm a federal employee or manager or official, as you and I both have been proudly for years, what 2 or 3 things would you advise me to do in order to get my agency or my program with it on the open government front?
Well, number one, I wouldn't view this as a compliance activity. I try to figure out how to allow this to deliver value in my mission and in my performance and in my service delivery. If we treat it as a compliance exercise, then, we're just checking boxes and getting green scores on dashboards. So that's number one. Number two, I think, is to figure out how to use this to empower the workforce that works for me. How can I use these tools so that they can become engines of productivity, innovation, creativity within my own department or agency, and really roll out creative ideas on a faster basis. And lastly, I think it changes my role as an executive in that I not only interact with internal employees, I now have to interact directly with a lot of public facing sites and the public in general in direct dialogue on my services. And that's quite different from the past.
Well, we thank you both for joining us today. Ira Goldstein, Director with Deloitte Federal Government Services and former Chief Operations Officer at GAO, and also Dave McClure, Associate Administrator, Citizen Services and Innovation Technologies at GSA.
David, it's good to see you again, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Ira. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. You're listening to Fed Central, presented by Deloitte on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This has been Fed Central on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, with Jane Norris, your host. Make sure to tune in again in 2 weeks for another edition of Fed Central on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and on federalnewsradio.com/FedCentral.